Want to get the inside scoop on market wrap? Just call 800-388-9700 right now and get on the list to receive weekly updates on the show. We'll tell you about upcoming guests and topics, give you all the ways to get your daily dose of Mo, tell you how to participate in the show, and let you know about upcoming events. Just call 800-388-9700. That's 800-388-9700 to get the inside scoop on market wrap.
Welcome back, everyone, to Market Wrap. I'm Mo Ansari, and you're tuned in as you've been doing so for over 25 years now. As always, wherever you are, from Miami to Seattle, from California to the East Coast, and let's not forget all of you that are tuned in the Hawaiian Islands, you can always give me a call, and I will be more than happy to share with you my nearly 38 years of trading experience. But for the next few minutes, hold your calls. I have a very special guest on the line. We are going to go across the pond all the way to Belgium in Europe and talk to Dr. Frederik van Heverbeek. He is the author of Access Returns, a comparative study of the methods of the world's greatest investors. This is a treat. He's going to share with you what methods do they use, the greatest investors, to produce these excess returns. Over the past year, decade, Dr. van Heverbeek has been built considerable expertise in the area of stock investing, company analysis, accounting, through the reading of hundreds of books, articles, shareholders, letters, etc. in his free time. Thanks to his knowledge of the best practices in the field of investing, he has beaten the market by a substantial margin over the past 10 years in his private stock portfolio. Currently, he is a bond portfolio manager at an asset management company in Belgium. Dr. van Heverbeek, welcome to Market Wrap.
Hello, Mo.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you. Tell us a little bit about one or two of the investors who are featured in your book and why you chose to feature them.
Well, I will choose two less known investors because also Warren Buffett and Peter Lynch are featured, but I think everybody knows them very well.
Right.
So two less known investors that are featured in the book are, for instance, Prem Watsa and Joel Greenblatt. So Prem Watsa he is called the Canadian Warren Buffett. Well, he's actually not Canadian, he's Indian, but he moved to Canada. Uh-huh. And he's the CEO of Fairfax Financial Holdings. It's an insurance holding company. And he is compared to Warren Buffett because the track record of this insurance company is comparable to that of Buffett. Mm-hmm. So he compounded at very high rates. And I really appreciate Prem Watsa because he's a very down-to-earth investor and different to Warren Buffett. He also makes macro calls, and he's very spot-on with his macro calls. Then when Joel Greenblatt, maybe Joel Greenblatt is better known in the United States.
Yes, he is. I've known Joel, and he's a great investor. But tell all the listeners about Joel and what does he do, and why is he one of the most astute investors in the world?
Well, he's indeed one of the most astute investors. When you look at his track record, he managed to earn 50% a year in the first 10 years when he managed a hedge fund. And this is after fees, and they can be considerable for hedge funds, as you probably know.
Right.
So this is really a very amazing track record. So he's featured because also he wrote a very good book, probably one of the best investment books that I have read. Mm-hmm. It's called You Can Be a Stock Market Genius. Mm-hmm. And in that book, he describes a lot of special kind of stocks that most people overlook, and they are called special situation stocks. Mm-hmm. So, and he's not the only one who looks at these special situation stocks, as you can read in my book, but he has some very unique ideas about this, and that's why he takes a prominent place in my book. And more recently, he also came up with the so-called magic formula, which is a formula that can help people to find undervalued stocks through a quantitative method. But most recently, he's more involved in quantitative investing, so he has given up on active hedge fund management. He is more managing funds for investors based on quant methods.
For quant methods, let me explain that to the listeners. That's quantitative methods using just computer formulas, basically. It's a formula that an investor puts together to use. Chapter A of your book is Investing Philosophy and Styles, and you write that the focus is on what you call the school of investors. Can you explain that and tell us the philosophy behind it?
Well, investing is very, very easy. But most people don't really seem to grasp it. So it's like, you can compare it like buying a $1 bill for 50 cents. So translated to stocks, it means buying stocks at discounts to the fair value of the cash flows, discounts to the present. This is maybe a little bit complicated, but it just means buying stocks below the true or the fair value that they convey. But
how do you find that fair value? I mean, how do you find those stocks that are below fair value? It's easier said than done.
That's, of course, easier said than done. I cannot explain this here over the phone in just a few minutes.
But it's in your book, and you go through it in quite a bit of detail. In your book, you cover the most important cognitive biases that tend to drive irrational market behavior. Can you share a few of those irrational market behaviors for our listeners?
Well, there are actually two types of cognitive biases, but if you really look at what makes prices in the stock market irrational, then you should look at cognitive biases that are systematic, so that are not random. I mean, that people commit at the same time, so which leads to irrational pricing. So first one is the extrapolation of trends. So many people, when they see a stock price perform strongly, they expect that it will go on like that. Or when it does poorly, they expect that the stock is an underperformer and will stay an underperformer. This can be a big mistake. But it means that stocks can be overvalued when they are popular and undervalued when they are in the doldrums. Something related to that, another cognitive bias, is the herding behavior. Mm-hmm. Many people in the market, they are very insecure. They don't know how to they should invest, and that's why they look at people around them. They listen to gurus, and they just go in the same direction at the same time. So this drives markets to irrational prices on the upside and also on the downside.
So extrapolation is one of those that, look, the market is going up, so let me get more and more aggressive as the market goes up because it'll continue forever. That's unfortunately the thinking that so many people get. But as we know, everything goes in cycles. It hits the top and it comes back down. And the herding is they go to a party and this person says, boy, I just bought this stock and it's made so much money for me. And so everybody goes and buy that particular stock. We saw that in tech stocks in 2000. We saw a lot of that in the real estate markets. We are talking to Dr. Frederik van Haverbeek. He has written a great book, Excess Return, a Comparative Study of the Methods of the World's Greatest Investors. And he is joining us today from Belgium in Europe, all the way across the pond. Chapter B of your book is titled Finding Bargains, in which you list eight categories for screening bargains. Give us one or two that you feel are the most important.
Well, maybe I can give you one example of a type of stock that is interesting and another type of stock that looks similar but that is usually not interesting.
Okay.
So, first of all, an IPO. So, this is when a private company goes public.
Right.
These stocks are usually shunned by top investors. And the reason is simple. The people who manage the company, who bring the company to the market, they know the company very well. They have no incentive to offer the stock at a cheap price, so they time their sale to the investors at the moment that they can make the most money out of it. Usually, they also try to pimp a little bit their business to make it look better than it is. So all these factors together make for bad investments. Mm-hmm. So IPOs are usually to be avoided.
Mm-hmm.
A very related kind of stock that is also a stock that comes to the market. It's a spin-off. So it's when a company spins off a certain business unit. And maybe to the surprise of some people, these spin-offs are one of the most popular types of stocks for most top investors for a number of reasons. First of all, there is no incentive to go for a high price because the spin-off is usually given to shareholders of the mother company. So why would they pursue a high price? Secondly, there is often a selling pressure from existing shareholders because a lot of shareholders don't want this new stock. It can be a very small part of their portfolio. So some even have to sell it because professional portfolio managers, for instance, mm-hmm. they have investment charters, and when they get a very small position, mm-hmm. they may have to sell it. And a third reason for spin-offs to perform strongly is that the incentive of the management to do a spin-off is to benefit shareholders. So they also want to prepare the spin-off company such that it will perform excellently after the spin-off. So all this makes for an excellent investment, and studies have indeed confirmed that spin-offs in aggregate are doing very well in the market.
We are talking to Dr. Frederik van Heverbeek. He is joining us from Belgium today, the author of Excess Returns, a comparative study of the markets, methods of the world's greatest investors. Dr. van Heverbeek, let's talk a little bit about, there's a section in your book called Confusing Investing with Trading. How common is this, and how important is it to know the difference?
Well, investing and trading are very different approaches, and they can both be effective. So trading, very simply said, is buying based on price behavior. Momentum trading is the most famous school of trading. So momentum traders, they look at price charts, and when a stock performs strongly, they buy the stock and they try to ride it out until the trend reverses. Or when a stock does poorly, so they short the stock until the stock goes up again. So that's trading, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Investing, as I said, it's buying share based on the discount of the price versus the fair value. That's completely different. So investors should not look at price action. And traders, pure traders don't look at fair value. They just look at price action. So a common mistake, for instance, is for investors to use a stop-loss order. And a stop-loss order, this is an order where you automatically sell a stock when it drops below a certain price, say 10% below the purchase price.
Right.
But when you're a true investor, this makes simply no sense, because if you're really convinced that the stock is cheap versus fair value, why would you sell it at an even cheaper price, at 10% below the price at which you thought it was a cheap stock? And Warren Buffett, for instance, has a nice comparison to make for stop-loss orders. So he compares it to buying a $1 million house and then instructing your broker to sell it when he gets a bid for $800,000. So he says it's as absurd as doing this, using stop-loss orders.
That's an interesting way to look at it. Dr. van Heverbeek, we could talk for hours. So you've got this book is just really great. The information that you have, and I do appreciate you taking the time today and being with us. Let me do this. Let me go to a break. If you could stay through the break, I would appreciate that. And then I would like to get a couple of new ideas from you. Everybody, stay right where you are. I'm going to take a short break, and I will be right back.
You look like gold to me, and I'm not too